Dave.
And I'm Rob.
And welcome to this month's episode of The List Makers, episode 36, Top 5 Doctor Who Tear Jerker Moments. Are you ready for this one, Rob?
I've been ready all month, Dave.
Fantastic. Before we get going, I just want to say, if you have a topic you want to put into Turlough's Hat of Rassilon, please do send it to us by email, social media, whatever the case may be, and we'll put them in the hat. Rob, I reckon we'll have a couple of snaps on this, and there's one of mine I'm particularly confident I think you'll snap with me on.
I reckon we've got one for sure and quite possibly two. Just knowing you over, you know, almost a decade, that's my sense.
Yeah, and knowing me, knowing you, I think that's that's how I feel as well. So it's my turn to go first. Now, I'm going to say at the top of this list that, and I think you're the same here, Rob, I'm not somebody who particularly breaks down in tears watching television. I'm not one of those people who goes on social media after every episode and says, oh, I was in tears by Moffat's writing and all the rest of that. I'm not that sort of fan. Mm-hmm. So I did make the decision to just pick the stories that actually have, you know, moved me and maybe, you know, feel like a little bit of a tear is necessary. So I've gone very, very specific, and I'll talk about the implications of that after we've both made our lists.
I have some thoughts on that too, actually.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so look, I will kick off. I found picking number 5 really hard, and I'll definitely have some honourable mentions that just missed out, but number 5, I'm going with the ending of the Dalek invasion of Earth and the Doctor's farewell to Susan. This takes up a good chunk of that final 6th episode. It has that wonderful, memorable, someday I shall come back. Yes, I shall come back. There's that wonderful speech. It has Susan's reaction. It has the way that Ian and Barbara stand there, know what's happening. It's David's reaction. And then they pause. They go down to the TARDIS key, discarded on the ground, move up into the stars. It's just a really lovely moment that actually does make me feel quite sad.
Yeah, one of the first of the team to... Well, the first of the team to go, I should say.
The first of the team to go, absolutely. Number 4, I have gone for something that wasn't on television, but I've gone for a new adventure, and that is Bad Therapy. Oh. Now, long-time listeners will know that this is one of my favourite New Adventures books, and some of you indeed may have heard me discuss this on the Where All Stories in the End podcast. Now, I had to reread this book a couple of years ago for that podcast, and in fact, I did reread it on a flight from Stockholm to Istanbul, of all places, and actually was moved to tears and trying very hard to not sort of, you know, sit there on the middle of an international flight crying. So look, the moment was that the extra sort of companion-like figure in this book is Jack. And Jack's a young gay kid, he's about 16, whose boyfriend is murdered at the start of the book. And over the course of the book, Jack discovers that his boyfriend was a toy. That is a replica that's been made to turn into the perfect companion for somebody. So if you're an old person who's lonely, it turns into a companion, etc., etc. And Jack discovers that his boyfriend was one of these toys. The Doctor and Jack discover where the toys are being made and what goes on. And there's a long discussion through this book of Jack thinking, well, I could have my boyfriend Eddie back. I could just find another toy and think the same thoughts and he would come back, and wondering about the morality of that. And towards the end of the book, the Doctor's brought all of these toys together and he's trying to find them friends. And Jack knows that if he goes into that party at that moment, he could get this back. Mm-hmm. But he knows that that's probably the wrong thing to do, but he's tempted and he's equivocating. And then you get the paragraphs, Jack watched as the last frozen statue jerked into life and began to dance, clumsily at first, to the intoxicating rhythms. The last of the toys had come alive and been allocated. Goodbye, Eddie, Jack whispered, as a chapter of his life closed forever.
Ooh.
And it was just, you know, I'd related to Jack a lot when I read this the first time, and I did the second time, and it was just a really, really sad moment where somebody has to say goodbye in a really human way. And it's a really good book. It's a book about grief. And, you know, all those themes got together and really got me. So unusually for us, I'm picking a non-televised story.
That's good. I like it.
Number 3, I had to have this here, and it's the end of Planet of the Spiders.
Okay.
It's the moment where the Doctor effectively does die. If Joji wasn't there to push him along, he actually would have died.
Correct,
and
yeah.
Pertwee gives a very good performance. Liz Sladen gives a fantastic performance. She herself does actually cry. And we have spent the whole of Planet of the Spiders revisiting the themes and the idea and the people of the Pertwee era. And that all culminates in the last lines the Doctor gets. "Tear, Sarah Jane? When there's life, there's..." And he goes.
Yeah.
And it's that revisiting of that line that he's used again and again as the Doctor. Only a story before he used it the last time. And it's just very, very sad. And Pertwee was the Doctor I saw most when I was a kid. He was the Doctor that was on all the time on repeats when I was young and I grew up with. So he meant a lot to me, and that was a very sad moment for me.
Okay.
Number two, we are moving into New Who. And this is one that we actually discussed fairly recently on a monthly show. It is, of course, the moment the Doctor is lying there at the end of The Doctor Falls.
Ah, yeah.
And he looks up and he says, "I thought there'd be stars." And we discussed this on our season 10, or series 10, I should say, episode, Rob. Yeah. We discussed just how desperate and sad the emotions build up in that two-part, how it all gets beyond the Doctor's control, beyond the Doctor's ability to fix. There's a sense of desperation. We've already seen what happened to Bill. And then the Doctor does seem to be dying. Capaldi gives a fantastic performance. And it's just written in such a great way. It's not over the top. It's not dramatic. It's just sad. Mm. It's just simple and sad. And so I thought that was a really wonderful moment. Number one, I suspect you predicted this, Rob, but it is, of course, the Doctor's farewell to Joe at the end of The Green Death.
Yeah.
That is a wonderful moment. We've had Joe with the Doctor for three full seasons, one of the longest serving companions. Again, a Doctor and companion combination that I grew up with as a kid, and I saw the Doctor and Joe all the time when I was a kid. They meant a lot to me. And just that sad moment as the Doctor realises that, as he says, the fledglings fly in the coop, mm-hmm. and he has to say goodbye. And for a moment then, the Doctor just looks so lonely and so sad, and he turns his back on the party. Joe turns one last time to see that he's gone. She's turned back to her fiancé. She's made the right decision, but she misses the Doctor, and then the Doctor just walks out of the party alone into Bessie and drives off into the sunset as the theme starts to play.
Yeah.
And it's just a wonderful emotional moment. Again, it's not overstated. It's not syrupy. It's just one that hits me. So that's my list. I'll talk more about constructing that list in a moment. But Rob, I'm keen to hear yours.
We have one snap.
One snap. Okay, I think it's that or that. I've made a note. We'll find out. Go ahead.
In at number five, I've got Abigail's Song from A Christmas Carol. For starters, I think it's a very nice song. You know, there are words in there directed at the Kazran character. When you're alone, silence is all you'll see. When you're alone, silence is all you'll be. All of that stuff. But on top of that, we have this beautiful woman on the last day of her life singing her heart out. There's instantly this element of bravery there in the background. And when we have the memories of the episode going through our heads, you know, these two were in love, but then he put her on ice and became a bitter old man. But now he's seeing her again, and it doesn't matter to her that he's gotten old and angry, you know, and his younger self shows up. And, oh, gee, this one really gets me in the feels, Dave, the whole thing.
Nice.
In at number four, Clara in the diner with the Doctor. This one's a killer, Dave, because it's spread across a lot of little scenes, so it's like death by a thousand cuts. And it starts with the Doctor playing Clara's theme on the guitar, which is a pretty little ditty, but on guitar with some reverb, it's just beautiful. And the scenes play on, and there's a chance for Capaldi and Coleman to dance around this topic and deliver some good lines, and it's quite entertaining to the audience. But the big one is she's trying to cheekily infer that she might be Clara to him, and the Doctor at one point says, no, if I saw Clara again, I'd absolutely know her. And Coleman's face drops just enough that we know she's crushed, but the Doctor's not going to pick up on that facial expression. It's really subtle. It's really sad. It's a really nicely done series of moments. And regardless of how I felt about Clara in general or Clara at the end, I still think it's a great scene.
Okay, number three.
Number three, Vincent van Gogh visits his art in the future. Yeah, just a beautiful scene. Having Bill Nighy deliver the commentary about Vincent while Vincent stands there and becomes overwhelmed is just great. That said, I don't think this is a Nighy exclusive. I think it could be any British actor with some gravitas. Stephen Fry, I think, would have killed doing this. Kenneth Branagh, you know, pull in any sort of British actor with some gravitas. All of them would have put their own spin on this and I think left us in the same mess that poor old Vincent's in after he hears everything said out loud. In at number two, snap, Pertwee leaves Joe
right, okay.
and drives off. This one's interesting, Dave, because it doesn't actually make me weep, but it does make me feel very, very, very sad. The Doctor and Joe have had such a good run. Now he's been passed over for essentially the younger him. It's the best result for Joe. I think you mentioned that too. And the way she notices he's leaving but doesn't say anything, and then he's wandering off through the goats outside and firing up Bessie, nothing is said. But nothing needs to be said. We've all been there in a situation where doing the right thing hurts, but we push on and we do it. And I think this ties into your bad therapy example, Dave, which I've not read, but I think it sounds like the same thing where he's making the right choice even though it's going to hurt.
Yes, absolutely.
And this is one of those moments. And I think we've all been there in life. It doesn't even have to be a romance per se. We all make hard decisions sometimes like this. Yeah.
You're number one, Rob. I'm very keen to hear this.
In at number one, Dave, it's I'll always remember when the Doctor was me. In the End of Time Christmas special. This is one of those moments where, yes, it's a big wanky, the Doctor's regenerating and must make a speech thing. I get that. But I think this one leaves Capaldi in the dust, for example. Capaldi gets his I hope there'd be stars moment the episode before he regenerates. When he actually regenerates, his speech is twaddle. But Smith's speech with life being like breath on a mirror, it's here 1 minute, then it's gone. And changing all through your life, but always remembering who you were. This is really beautiful, life-affirming stuff. But when he does that super, super, duper meta, I'll always remember when the Doctor was me. And looks at the camera. I'm just a wreck. It's so good. It's a real nod to the fans. I love it. That's my list.
Well, Rob, these are perhaps two of the most different lists we've come up with in 36 episodes of doing this mini show.
And look, I want to point out at the top, Dave, I think a majorly important point to note is how personal a list like this is. Some of the things I've mentioned or that you've mentioned, people out there are going to hear and go, really? Nah, it just bounces off them. And I'm the same with other examples like Capaldi and his final Goodbye to River song. Didn't move the needle for me. Tennant doesn't want to go. Okay, whatever. Tennant burns up a star to not tell Rose that he loves her. It sort of got me the first time, but it's never worked again. But other people, I get it, tears galore to all of those things I just mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. These are very personal lists. And that comes back to my opening point where I said that in the end, I went with the ones that actually do move the needle for me, as you put it, and the ones that actually have made me choke up. And when I looked at my shortlist and I was putting this together, some when we put these lists together, Rob, I mean, we do go with, you know, the right choices and all the rest of it, but I certainly, and I think you do the same, have that element of, you know, is it a balanced list? If I sort of mentioned things from different areas to some extent, I haven't, you know, loaded it from one part of the show or anything like that. And this one, I just looked at it and thought, look, I have really stacked this with classic stuff and I really haven't got much new stuff on there at all, only one mention on my list, but I just, they're the ones that I had earned the spot, and so it was a little bit more narrowly focused than perhaps it normally would be for me.
Yeah, well, I started, you know, making a list of things I thought might fit in, and initially a runner-up was the Goodbye to Sarah Jane. You think, oh, the Goodbye to Sarah Jane, and you think of Don't Forget Me, and oh, Don't You Forget Me, and you think of all that, but that's very quick. And then suddenly we're in suburbia and it's a gag that the Doctor has screwed up and left her in the wrong place. And Sarah jokes with a Labrador, then walks off whistling a jaunty tune. And it's like, this isn't really a tearjerker. It started off sort of sad. Now it's just funny and it's quirky. I'm certainly not crying, so that couldn't make my list at all.
Rob, that's actually a very good segue into me talking about my honourable mentions or my runners-up, because I did actually have that moment on my runners-up list. It came very close, in fact, to getting into number five. And as you say, there is a moment of real tenderness there that, when I was a kid particularly, did, you know, make me choke up a little bit. But I think they do deliberately pull back a bit from that, that I want to end on a really sad note for Sarah Jane. The other two on my honourable mentions list were Adric's death in Earthshock, which, again, as a kid, as somebody who really liked Adric and related to him in some ways, I did find that a really sad moment. And the other was the Doctor's speech at the end of the massacre, where he reflects on the fact that all his companions seem to have left him.
Was it Adric's actual death, like, you know, boom, the ship's gone up, he's dead? Or was it the credits? Because for me, it was the credits. I was kind of like, okay, when he died. But when the credits were silent and just rolled, it hit me then.
I think the credits are really, really effective. I think the first time I saw that, I would have been 9, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the moment where then you get that little bit of Adric's theme come back and play over the scanner. And I mean, the show didn't do that sort of stuff back then, you know, play characters' themes from previous episodes. That was a really lovely moment. As I've got older, I sort of get through that okay. But yes, the closing credits or the silent credits are very, very effective. It's harder now because you absolutely now as an adult can see Janet Fielding bury her head in Sarah Sutton's shoulder because she's clearly about to crack up laughing and, you know, can't hold the straight face. So that was there. And yeah, Hartnell's speech in the mask, which I think is a lovely speech delivered from him about, again, how sad and lonely the Doctor is in some ways, I think is really good.
Yeah. Another important note to make, which came to me when I was making my list and sort of crossing things off, is to note how tearjerker moments, I think, are different to emotional moments. And I'll give you an example. In Day of the Doctor, we hear the First Doctor say, you know, calling the War Council of Gallifrey. My heart is in my bloody throat at that moment. We're not meant to ever hear the First Doctor say Gallifrey. It didn't exist when he was around, you know. And then there's the No Sir, All 13, and Capaldi's eyebrows. And for me, it's like, holy f***ing, like, you know... There are tears, but it's not a tearjerker because this isn't sad content. And it's the same for the curator appearing at the end. There are tears, but it's not sad. It's more joyous than sad. I don't know what I'd call it.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. And I know a friend of the podcast, Richard, has joked with us before about the slow tear glistening down the eye of many a 50-year-old fanboy as they were watching the curator at the end of Day of the Doctor. But you're right, it's an emotional moment rather than a sad moment. The other thing that really occurred to me is 3 out of 5 of my list, and if you want to forget that Twice Upon a Time happened, 4 out of 5 of my list and 3 out of 5 of yours are, of course, departure scenes.
Yes.
Again, as I was constructing my list, I realised that this was very heavy on departure scenes, and, you know, whether I'd gone with Sarah Jane's farewell or Adric's death, they wouldn't have changed that balance at all. I think that's just inevitable, though. I think you can't escape that in a list like this.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm looking at some of my runners-up. I don't know if you've got more to mention, but for me, Rose's dad dying, saving the universe, that moment is just so brave, so sad.
It's a
real could I do that moment if I was in his shoes. That's a departure of sorts. He's departing, certainly. Donna's memory being erased tends to get me. And the Ninth Doctor sending Rose back to Earth and have a fantastic life. That gets to me too.
Yeah, I get all the ones you've mentioned, Rob. Maybe not your Kasdan one, because that episode never really sort of worked for me. But Vincent and the Doctor, that's absolutely a really good pull. I have gravitated more towards ones that really made me sad as a kid. They're the ones that have really stuck in the memory as being emotional for me. And I do have... I'm wired in such a way that when they're trying too hard, it doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the ones that people mention from New Who, I just sort of look at the dialogue and it's very, very trite. It's very, very syrupy. And the music's got the You Will Cry Now. Yeah. And I'm just, my natural reaction is to go, no, I can see what you're doing. I'm not going to be manipulated. I'm not doing this. And that's just a reflection, as you said right at the start, Rob, of how I'm wired and how the subtler moments. I mean, Joe's departure has no music.
No.
That whole scene has no music other than the background music at the actual party. All of the dialogue in the Dalek Invasion of Earth is without music. You only get the music at the very last moment where Susan walks away and they have the close-up on the key.
Yeah.
That stuff works for me a lot more than the big syrupy orchestras.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
That's been really interesting. Two incredibly different lists. One snap, but just, yeah, like, we've come at this from such different places, which is really fascinating. So that's been really enjoyable. But time to reach into the Hat of Rassilon.
Yes.
Rob, well, we've previously done top 5 target books.
Yeah.
We've done top 5 NAs and EDAs.
Yeah.
Are you ready for top 5 Doctor Who non-fiction books?
Oh, any day, Dave, any day.
This is going to be very personal and very tough. We will be ripping our childhoods apart, I think, for this one, Rob.
I've done about an hour and a half on Too Hot for TV about this topic. I'm covered. I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, you have? You have. Okay. I have. Well, we'll find out which ones are there. So, yep, next time, top five Doctor Who non-fiction books. But until then, I've been Dave.
I've been Rob.
And we'll make some more lists next month.
Goodbye.
Bye.